Coming up on Speak Up.
It's not always physical. She's not going to come home with a bruise on her face or a scratch on her arm. Mm-hmm. It's up in here.
That's right.
And if she's not comfortable coming home and talking about that and opening up, I'm sorry. I don't care how close you've been to them.
That's right.
It all starts now.
81% of parents don't think dating violence is a problem.
Right.
What you're going through, you think you're the only one that's ever gone through this.
It is not always well. Sex is not the sin, and sex is not the problem.
You know, address the elephant in the room. Don't miss that opportunity.
I think as women, we have a lot of things to do. We multitask, so that's what we have to control.
Young adult dating violence is a big problem. It affects young people in every community around the world. In fact, in this country, one in three adolescents is a victim of physical, sexual, emotional, or verbal abuse from a dating partner. This is a number much higher than any other type of youth violence. Yet, only one in three teens who were in a violent relationship ever told anyone about it. Why is that? What are the lasting effects of dating violence? That is what we're here to speak about today. So, ladies, who will be speaking up first on this issue? Erica, I know you work with teens. Is this real? Is this a reality?
It's very real, but I don't know about you guys. That was the last thing I was thinking about in high school. I had no personal experience with this whatsoever. Mm-hmm. But as I'm starting to work with them, I've done my own homework, and while I haven't had a personal interaction with somebody who's gone through it, part of that is because these girls don't speak up about it.
That's
they
right.
don't want to talk about it. It's embarrassing,
right.
And a lot of times they don't even know how to call it what it is.
Absolutely. You would Absolutely. Think that at this day and age, people would be able to say, you know,
when something's wrong.
Yeah.
Right. Sometimes they have to realize that something is wrong instead of downgrading it to stress.
Right.
Oh, he just had a stressful day, or she just had a stressful day.
So why do you think they are not talking about it? Is it they're feeling afraid that they'll be blamed for it?
No, I think a lot of times they're just afraid that the other person might retaliate for speaking up. You know, like, hey, somebody abused me, and she's afraid that the guy or the boyfriend is going to come after her or her family.
And make it even worse.
Sure. Right.
But even before that, I'm the mom in the group, so, you know, let's get the elephant out of the room. I'm always going to go back to where, you know, you were raised. And
right. So it's the parents' fault?
You think it's the parents' fault? I completely agree. It is the parents' fault.
I don't know.
How is it the parents' problem what somebody else's kid is doing to her daughter?
Yeah. Somebody put words in my mouth. I didn't say it was the parents' problem.
I just asked a question.
Fault. It's not the parents' fault, but I think it's the parents' problem. It is.
On which side?
I think it's both sides. But they may not know.
When you start raising your child, you basically have an open canvas, an open blank canvas. There are a lot of studies.
Actually, I disagree. Here's why. Because you have something called generations.
And genetics. Yes.
So they learn behaviors in a family.
Absolutely. We have to consider the genetics and the cultural influences and all that. But I have to say that raising three kids, if I wasn't there at every step of the way, they would be influenced by somebody else.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So I had to really be on the lookout. Is this influence? No. No.
They were influenced by somebody else.
Exactly. That is my point. So I had to make sure that, one, the basics were taught at home.
Sure, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So they would carry those principles
yeah,
out.
Absolutely. That's right.
And then when the influences, so I would make sure that they were in places that I was okay with the influences, mm-hmm. that they wouldn't mm-hmm. suffer.
You hope so.
So you can't tell me, though, you that a girl comes home and has been... It's not always physical. She's not going to come home with a bruise on her
face
or a scratch on her arm. Mm-hmm. It's up in here.
That's right.
And if she's not comfortable coming home and talking about that and opening up... I'm sorry. I don't care how close you've been to them.
That's right.
You're not going to know.
Her mood is not always going to say it. Women, we know how to hide stuff good.
Okay.
Her mood is not always going to say something bad happened today.
That goes right back to my point. You know, if you raise your child, you as in the on the basis you can tell me
it's not a plant. You can't always know that when you raise it, something's wrong.
Well, actually, you water them well, and they almost like it.
See, that's why I blame. That was good. That's why I blame the parents, because if the upbringing at home is not right, then it's either that child is going to be the abuser or going to be the victim, because it's either they're going to have low self-esteem because of their upbringing at home or what they see from their parents, from what the parents are doing at home. They'll bring it out to the relationship.
See, I heard this study that says that 81% of parents don't think dating violence is a problem with their children or at all. And that 82% of them feel very confident that if they were in a position where their child was experiencing dating violence, they would be able to know. But that's not it. Only 50-some percent of those 82%, almost half only, knew the signs and symptoms of abuse. So the problem, maybe, when you're talking about here is they need to know the signs and symptoms at least.
So the data analysis confirms my point that parents are not involved enough. They're not involved because they don't know what's going on. As a parent, you need to know what's going on.
Exactly.
Because
now, how do you find out what's going on?
Get in there. Get in the middle of
it. Now, we're talking a lot about the parents and the victims. How about the perpetrator? Does he have anything?
He didn't have parents to teach him how to be a perpetrator.
We go back to the parents again.
Exactly.
I don't know. I can't say that. I feel like even if somebody was raised well, they can be a violator. They can be someone who chooses.
They have choices, right?
A victim, because you have choices.
You know, so often the abuser comes across from a place of control, but it doesn't look like control. It looks like, I love you so much. I love you so much. I want to know where you're going. I want to know who you're talking to. And the girl says,
you all the every minute, every second.
He loves me. He wants the probe.
He can't get in. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's so twisted.
So emotional health. Right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So psychological balance. Mm-hmm. So where do you learn those things?
But think, another lesson, though, they're learning that they're very susceptible on their friends, how accepted they are. So it's hard for them to have the maturity emotionally.
Absolutely. And there will be a time that they will have to make choices. And I have three adults, and they had to make choices at being adolescents, and they made bad choices. And I asked myself, didn't I teach them
so it's
better
their fault.
Than
that?
No, it's their fault.
Their fault. So they need to be able
tables
to.
Tables have turned.
Wait a minute.
Their fault.
So when I asked them, I taught you better than that. And then they tell me, well, Mom, it was my choice.
My choice.
Okay. Right.
So it comes to a point where you have to step back, hoping that the influence you had would be the you know, the principal. Yeah. But it could have been worse. Mm-hmm. You never know. Right. You never know.
Which is why we can't just educate parents. Like we were talking earlier, these kids are in our schools for 8 hours a day, sometimes longer. As I'm traveling and doing these seminars with these young girls, I keep explaining, look out for jealousy.
The signs. Control.
Yeah, these are the signs you should look for. And if you think that when he's 16 he's doing this, let me tell you, when he's 26,
it's about to be.
It's about to turn worse.
It's about to get
real. There is a lot of things that we have to consider in this whole thing. And the truth is that maybe it's not just the parents to blame or the victim to blame or even just the perpetrator. There are many factors. And we have somebody here that can help us answer some of these many tough questions that we are experiencing here. In fact, we have with us Heather Dawn Small, who is the Women's Ministry Director for the Seventh-day Adventist Church worldwide. And she has been involved in many initiatives that speak about this. Heather Dawn, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
You heard our lively conversation. There's all kinds of thoughts. Who is to blame? You've heard that only one in three of the girls who actually experience dating violence actually talk about it. So why do you think is that? Any specific reasons that explain it?
I think part of it has to do with their relationship with their parents at home. I don't want to blame parents per se, but parents do have to take a percentage of that. Because if a girl's relationship with her mother or father are not good, if she's grown up in an abusive home,
makes it worse.
Where abuse becomes a comfortable something, then that's the relationship she's going to end up in. Yeah. Who do we blame there?
So that's
it's not choice now. It's what I'm comfortable with.
Yeah. So that plays a huge effort in even if she's trying to have a healthy relationship. Yes. She doesn't know what a healthy relationship looks like.
She doesn't know. She knows what she's comfortable with.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. That's a very good point. There's many more questions that we can come back and talk about. So don't go anywhere. We will be right back here after the break, and we'll have our Speak Up friends join us to ask Heather Dawn many more of these wonderful questions. So stick around, and we'll be right back. Today, we're speaking up about dating violence, and Heather Dawn Small is here to help us identify key elements to protect women and girls against this intimate partner violence type of problem. So, Heather Dawn, we were talking about right before the break that parents actually do have some key role to play. So what do you think, how can parents recognize if their child, their young girl, daughter, is experiencing dating violence?
Well, you know, if a young girl is experiencing it and she's aware that's what she's experiencing, she will try to hide it. She'll try to give very scarce information about what's happening with her and the boyfriend. She's not going to want to bring him home. It's almost like it's a private side of her life because she's afraid that someone may see something and then it'll all be exposed. On the other hand, you have those who are in it who have no idea that this is what they're experiencing. And the problems that we see there are relationship with the parent, where the parent is unable to see because they don't have a good relationship with the child to talk and to find out, well, how are things going? Where did you go last night?
You know, that goes to what Josiah was talking about earlier about the parents. So I guess you were right. I don't know.
And it's not even a matter of being right about it. This is what I experienced. Depending on the which child I was dealing with at a time, I could get more from one than the other because the differences in the relationship.
Now, Erica and Ovella both have a ministry with young people, with teen girls and everything. And so in your experience, you've seen sometimes some of these girls looking for love and acceptance and finding that, sometimes what looks to be love,
right.
You know, maybe it's not love. Right. Do you have any questions for Heather Dawn in that?
Well, as I'm speaking to them, I'm trying to reinforce how valuable they are. Because when you know you're valuable, you don't let anybody else treat you differently, right? What do you feel can be done, whether in our schools or what kind of education can we do so that this isn't such a hush-hush topic like it's been, something that we don't sweep under the rug? How can we get this out there and let our kids know that this is going on and that it's wrong? Yeah. What can we do to start preventing it?
Well, you know, if we accept the fact that in many homes this is not discussed.
Correct.
There are those Christian homes that feel, well, this is not a Christian thing. Therefore, I'm not
going to... Doesn't happen here.
Yeah, I'm not going to expose my child to this information because I wanted not to be in this. And then there are those where it's happening.
Right.
And therefore, it's not talked about. Which leaves the responsibility now on the church and the school.
Right.
And I'm talking about the Christian school.
And you've been involved with an initiative that's raising... Do you want to talk about it?
Yes. End It Now has been around for since 2002. And we are doing all we can in the churches to speak up on this issue. The challenge, however, comes where you have a leadership. There may be someone in the church in leadership who is themselves an abuser.
Right.
That program never happens in those churches. So then now we're switching to the schools. What can we do in our schools? And it has to be more than just a one-time, one-semester discussion on this, this, and this. We actually have to teach our young boys and our young girls. We've got to teach our young boys how to treat our young girls.
This is such a good point because we're talking about the girls, but sometimes we forget the boys.
That's right.
We can't forget the boys.
That's right. Because I know in my home, I have a 26-year-old boy. And since he was a little boy, my husband and I would have these little back and forth. You know, he'd say, Mom, that girl's so rough. You know, she's so mean. And this was when he was in elementary school. And I said, I don't care what she does to you. You do not touch her. You do not hit her. And of course, you know, my husband, he's a macho. He's saying, but the boy must learn to defend himself.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, but not against a girl.
Yeah.
And even now at 26, I remember when he brought his most recent girlfriend home, I said to her, not to him, I said, you tell me if he doesn't treat you like
like a lady.
That's right.
If he doesn't open that car door for you, if he doesn't speak to you well. But you see, now that's what some of us parents do, but not all.
We give a mixed message, though, because as women, we want equality. We want equality for all of us. But then we teach our children, you know, the boys, that there are differences. So I think we really need to wake up that and think about when we teach our children that which differences matter and which differences don't matter. You know, going back to the who is at fault, and primarily I totally agree with you that the parents should take responsibility themselves.
Do you agree, Novella, with that? Because I know in the beginning
I'm still struggling with this. I'm looking at you shaking my head half the way.
What do you think?
It's a mixed thing. At some point in time, this child is an adult.
Yeah.
Or this child is a teenager or something, and you have to want better for yourself. Now, if this child did not come from a home where abuse was seen, right? So to say that's all they know. If they come from a healthy place and now they're in a relationship or a situationship, however you want to call it, that is not healthy.
And that's
there has to be an alarm that goes off
and
to
that's
say,
where the church and the school play a role. I didn't discard that. I said the primary relationship.
Now, Llewellyn,
I agree. Yeah. You know what? I agree. At first, I know I would blame the parents because the upbringing has played an important part in the kid's life. But I also agree that at some point, the kid will grow up and will have peer pressure. You know, the peer pressure it's a huge part in their lives. When they are associated with kids that are violent, then they would try to play a part in which, okay, I can show them that I can be violent too. So that would also play a part. So I agree that it's a mix.
It's a mix.
But I guess it would definitely start from the home when they go out there, then they're ready to face
those
challenges
in the society. As long as we can say it's a mix.
It's a mix.
And I think can't blame one side. It's a mix.
And Heather Dawn, you were talking about this. Like, you have the role of the parents, but then there is a responsibility. I was looking at a data on college students, which, by the way, is a huge amount, like 50% of them. And many of them give their passwords to their boyfriends and give out. Mm. So there is a role as well, for them to
so
be
we
careful.
Have to educate.
Yeah. Education is key. So thank you, Heather Dawn, for being with us, for all you're doing with End It Now. And we will be right back after this break to hear more. For resources on dating, by the way, those of you who are watching, go to hopetv.org/speakup. But don't go away. Be right back with us in just a minute. Welcome back. Sadly, intimate partner violence, and specifically dating violence, is very present in our society. But there's hope. What are your thoughts, ladies? What have we learned from our discussion today?
I believe that the responsibility of educating and growing and grooming a young person rests in multiple areas.
Factors.
It's not just the mom, the dad, or the older sibling. Mm-hmm. But it rests in many areas. I remember growing up, I was raised by a single woman, you know, my mom. Mm-hmm. However,
I
turned out all right, man. Let me tell you, I'm doing all right. And I remember I had my older sisters at the church, you know, just some friends. Yeah. And they helped move the bus along a whole lot, you know, because of their influence. So it's not just from one area, but it comes from many areas that a person is able to grow.
I completely agree. You know, it takes a village to raise up a kid, and that involves the parents, of course. Mm-hmm. But it could involve, like, the relatives. It could involve the neighbors. Because if the neighbors are not good, which I had a bad experience about neighbors, about bad-mouthing me, I'm like, really? And my parents did not believe. I'm like, come on. Like, I am your daughter, and they're the neighbors. Why don't you believe me? But like I said, it takes a whole village, and that includes, And
I guess also very cultural.
Having someone to trust, that you can trust to talk about it.
It's also very cultural, and I want to express that, yes, I do think that it's a problem with the parents have to take over.
Recognize the signs.
Yeah, but I was thinking about analytics. So we have a whole population, and people who are raised by mom and dad, by a healthy parenthood, right? They have a healthy relationship with
their
parents.
I gave you a side eye when you said healthy.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, because I'm healthy.
She's healthy, and she had a healthy relationship
but
with her mom.
She's one. We're talking about a whole population.
I follow what you're saying. If you look at the United States, the divorce statistics and everything else,
I think there's a very strong connection between the breakdown of the family unit and what we see happening in our young people.
And that's where I wanted to lay the burden upon.
Sure.
Individually, in which family, you're going to, you know, learn the dynamics. But once again, as an experienced mom, I think that teaching them the value of their body. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't teach them as we should that they are precious.
Yeah. And this is a big issue that really we need to talk more about because as faith, women of faith who believe in God and what he has done for us, it makes a big difference to know that you're loved by this God, and, no matter what circumstances.
You know, we are fearfully and wonderfully made.
And there are girls maybe that might be watching the show right now, and they need to know that. And I know, Erica, you work with girls, and this is a message that you're probably going to continue to reinforce to them.
I do. I want them all to know that no matter what kind of home situation you came from, you are a daughter of the King. First and foremost, that is where your identity comes from. Yeah. Don't let anybody ever tell you otherwise.
Yeah. Right.
This is a great segment into our Bible talk, because what does the Bible say about this? And Josara, maybe you found something in the Bible that speaks up to this issue.
Yeah, there are so many approaches, spiritually speaking, that we could draw from the Bible. But a text that I always go back to it. It's the fact that our body, like you said, we are wonderfully made. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Romans, I think.
Yeah, well, actually, it's Corinthians 3:16. Okay. So the New International Version puts it this way. Don't you know that your bodies are temples?
Don't you know?
What are you thinking? So, and now we have science on you know, say it's true. You know, your body, your mind is connected to your body. Duh. Right. We've been knowing this for a long time. Mm-hmm. So, don't you know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God. You are not your own.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
So from this principle, I want to encourage parents to put this message out there for their kids. You know, you're valuable.
Yes.
You as a person, you have to respect yourself first in order to be able to deal with this out there.
This is beautiful. Yeah. You know, and what you just said confirms research that we've seen among teens that said that when they understand that their body is the temple, they are less likely to engage in this unhealthy behavior. That was a great discussion. I hope you have benefited from our conversation today. If you're a young woman dating, put your relationship to the test. Do you recognize the warning signs in your relationship? Try to pray, ask God for wisdom so you can recognize whether or not you're with the right person. Remember, it may have lasting consequences for your life. So if you're not sure, talk to a friend, a pastor, somebody you trust, and somebody who walks with God. Mm. If you're a parent, as you heard, may you keep communication open. Show your love to your children so they're able to come to you and to talk about the issues that are hurting them. But most of all, ask God for wisdom and become more informed about resources. As we said, go to our website, learn about the resources there. Remember that hopetv.org/speakup is a place where you can download notes, speak up notes on dating violence. And there are many other resources there. Join the conversation on social media as well. And if you'd like somebody to pray for you, give us a call. The number is right on your screen. That's it from us. We'll see you next time to speak up about issues that really matter for your whole health and happiness.